Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
This is the first house I lived in L.A.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material.
See, the dirt lawn is going to be a reoccurring theme in tonight's show.
Live at Thunder Valley Casino Resort outside Sacramento on Friday, March 2nd.
I told you my dad would turn into lead singer Boston at some point. And my mom would turn into Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
And don't miss the live taping of Adam Carolla's Not Taco Bell Material, April 21st in downtown Santa Ana, California, presented by Esports Arena.
I'll give the devil her due. My mom could cook. Nobody puts nothing on a potato like my mom.
Adam Carolla, Sacramento at Thunder Valley on March 2nd and Santa Ana, April 21st.
Anybody could use the Mulholland Club if you were willing to scale a rocky cliff and jump a fence.
Not Taco Bell Material. Learn more at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Joel McHale, with Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and a round of made-up movie. And now, he's Adam Carolla, and you're not. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Woo! Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks,
Gina,
for
please,
supporting our sponsors like this half, Hims, H-I-M-S. Go to forhims.com/Adam. Try out the first month. All the products are free. Just $5, I should say, but a great deal. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
I'm a hermaphrodite.
Easy, Joel McHale in studio.
Yeah.
Joel, I just watched a project he was in, A Stupid and Futile Gesture.
So
I
good.
Very much enjoyed it
God
last night.
Bless you for watching it.
Well, you know, I was like, I love Joel. I heard it was great. I saw the documentary.
You love the genre.
Brian gave it a nice review, and Joel's coming in tomorrow. And I said, well, tonight I'm going to watch it. And I found it groundbreaking.
It's pretty good.
It was pretty
Thanks.
Damn
Certain
good.
Performances were lacking.
It was exactly all right.
It was fine.
Also, I'm looking here.
Joel's bulging biceps are a little distracting.
Look, it's just as if Chevy did a lot of arms. he just was, you know, he lifted a lot of ice blocks for some reason during the day.
Also, the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale premieres this Sunday, yeah. February 18th.
12:05 a.m.
But it doesn't say where it premieres.
Netflix.
Okay.
Which is a streaming service.
Chris, go ahead and look at the bios and then look for the place that the place
Did you write
is
Netflix
on.
Down, Chris?
Pretty critical.
I'm going to write Netflix down.
We're
so they must
right
like
now.
You. And so I know that
Netflix also made the movie.
That's what I'm saying. God, I guess whoever it. Made this bio just assumed, I would assume.
Double down on Joel.
All right. I'll so the Chevy Chase. So I know you worked with him.
Yeah.
And Community. And
there's no stories.
And it can be a little difficult probably to work with. But
what?
Not many people like, I'm not a big fan of my stepmom. But I'm not ever asked to portray her in a movie. Or rarely. Or when I am, I turn it down. I guess it's or
how
my management turns it down.
Your stepmom role down.
My stepmom role?
Right. Well, how many times has it been offered, I guess?
I've been asked to play Lynn.
This was was Warner Brothers?
Well, I was initially asked to play Lynn a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. If it's a standing offer, it's never like, you know, over and over. It's like
well,
a
hold on. Since the Weinstein thing, because...
they had it for a while.
They owned it. And then they kept renewing every year they'd have to renew. And then...
And then Kevin Hart fell out, right?
to play Lynn?
Yeah.
Well, initially I fell out, then he slid in, and then he fell out. And
was it a scheduling thing that you couldn't do it, or was it because you didn't want to step into the role?
I felt like it was too personal. Like I had too many stories, like you and Chevy.
Right.
A lot.
Did you? But you nailed her voice the couple of times I've heard you do it.
Well, that was Monique. She came in.
ADR'd it.
She came in after and cleaned up and did a lot of ADR work. But then eventually my management just knew I didn't want to play my stepmom in a movie. And so I don't know how many times they said that.
How many millions were you offered before they realized you were not doing it?
I go by, it's a little bit different. A lot of people go by millions or thousands or whatever. I go by bundles. So I'm very rich, and I just speak in terms of bundles. You know, how many bundles do you get? And like, for instance, I saved a ton of dough last year because I found out you could slide individual bills out of the bundles and give them out that way. So like, if you wanted to tip somebody at the airport, you wouldn't have to give them a whole bundle. Well, you know, even though they're bound and everything, you could just slide a single bill out of the bundle and hand them part of the bundle. So I was offered many bundles, which now I know can be broken apart.
But what do you do when you're on, speaking of the airport, and then you're on a plane, and God forbid that it's a plane that doesn't have a first class, which I'm sure rarely happens to you.
Are you talking about like a Cessna? A single prop?
You know how they want to charge you for drinks and food, and they say, we only take credit cards, and you're sitting there with
a
bundle.
Like, do bundles. I have my bundle vest
on your lap.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What do you
do? I would never fly those airlines. Yeah. So I don't know. I just have my assistant deal with it.
So when you see Spirit Airlines go by, you just point and go, ugh.
I don't know what that is, but if I saw a plane that didn't accept bundles, I would just keep walking.
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right. Mm-hmm. So the project is dead. Lynn is, you are not playing.
I'm not playing my stepmom. No, but you played Chevy Chase.
Yes.
And you worked with Chevy.
We came all the way back around.
Scenic route.
And I'm sure Chevy's probably not the easiest guy to work with.
Where have you heard that?
A little bird named Joel McKenna. So
the years of Community, there was always, stories running around, obviously, about Chev and about, Dan's recording of the voicemails that was going around. I don't know if you've heard those.
He was leaving voicemails.
Yeah, those got out and then
Mel Gibson-esque voicemails.
Yes, yes. They were quite ranty. And Chev, you always hear people go like, well, that's Chev being Chev, which he hated the hours being there, and that would take its toll, definitely. And then sometimes we would physically fight each other. Other than that,
it had to be particularly.
It was intense horseplay, but we still were roughing around,
roughhousing.
Yeah,
look, I believe. I mean, the sort of psychodynamic is the blonde, who's the belle of the ball, who's sort of aging out of the leading gal, the femme fatale, whatever, the ingenue role, doesn't hate the haunchy, frizzy-haired chick who's playing the best friend. She hates the next blonde who comes in and is kind of playing her role. So Joel McHale is sort of the latter-day Chevy Chase. I mean,
people
thought
that.
Young, nubile blonde.
For a moment.
He was on his headshot for a long time.
I was in Spy Kids 4, and people were like, he's on his way.
Yeah. Well, you were the rangy, attractive. Normally, comedians are a little more Patton Oswalt. You know what I mean?
You mean the sexiest man alive?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. He was offered the role of Lynn initially because of his staggering good looks.
Would you be pissed if he took it?
He did until he got a very sternly worded tweet from me to say, back off.
Wow. Wow.
But normally they're not built like Joel McHale. And I could see if you're Chevy Chase and that was the former you for all those years, you got to stand there in between John Belushi or Martin Short. I'm screwing up that.
John
Belushi. Yes. And sorry.
And Bill Murray.
No, I would. I'll throw in a Harry Scheer just to kind of make my point.
You
got
to
stand next to Harry Scheer and be the Adonis in the group. So I could see maybe a little initial feeling of a threat from a Joel McHale showing up to set.
I would. Yeah, he didn't. He was. He was. Yeah, I would say you're right. As I use a lot of different sounds that kind of almost are words, but really aren't. It's just a lot of noises,
but
which is kind of like a Morse code for yeah.
And did you get any feedback from him or anything?
He would get that, but then there was moments when there would be a lot of times he could be great, and he would tell stories where you'd be like, and then he would say stuff like, and then Paul Newman and I were playing pool, and then in walks Paul McCartney,
right.
And he's like, John Lennon just got Chinese food. Do you guys want to go to Andy Warhol's place and eat it? And you'd be like, I have a story about where I saw Richard Lewis one time.
Right.
And so it was those times were great. But so I actually called him to tell him that I was doing the movie.
Uh-huh.
And he actually was thrilled that Doug Kenny, who the movie is about, who started the National Lampoon and wrote Animal House
Caddyshack.
And Caddyshack and then died at 33. He was very happy he was finally getting his due. Mm. And but then I called him again 3 weeks ago before the Sundance Film Festival where the movie premiered. Thank you. And starring the amazing Will Forte, directed by David Wayne. And the amazing. So, but he was more like, I called him. He was like, are you just calling me to say hi? I'm like, no. The movie's out and it's good. He's like, okay. And then I said, do you want to see it? I can send you a link. And then he was like, what's a link?
Right. And had enough sausage for today, but thanks.
Yeah. That was Chevy. Yeah, that's how we talk. And so we have not, I don't know if he's seen it.
Well, as far as I could tell, you were funny and he was funny and there was a little cocaine use on occasion, but didn't seem.
Yeah, he
seem like
and he about the cocaine. I mean, he had been written in other places about kind of that was such a legendary time when everyone was doing it and didn't think it would, stop your heart in 10 years.
But, well, let's talk about the Joel McHale show as well.
Thank
which
you,
is premiering this Sunday, February 18th, on Netflix.
Very exciting.
It's written right here
by
me.
Works.
upcoming guests, Kevin Hart, Paul Reiser, Alison Brie.
Paul Reiser's in Stranger Things, and we're doing a little Stranger Things thing.
He's a good dude.
He's funny.
I'm glad.
Obviously.
It's nice. It's nice when you look around, and you see like a Paul Reiser or like a Larry Miller, and you go, they just keep working, and I'm happy about that.
Doesn't get credit for his range either. Literally, a few nights ago, I was watching Aliens, where he's the de facto bad guy, aside from, of course, the Aliens, and plays it straight, not jokey, not funny. I mean, he's smarmy, but he's not, like, joking it up and funny, and he is convincing, and he's a great
and
villain.
He's smarmy, but he's not playing smarmy at all.
Just comes
he's
off.
The company
truly.
Man.
No, he's a good he's
for
a,
all
he's
you
a
young
good
people
actor.
Out there listening, just go watch Aliens and you must realize what the groundbreaking how what that movie changed a lot for
the sound design is perfect.
The sound design.
It is.
So the aliens are not great and the acting is okay and
no,
the sets suck. But the sound design.
Brian's a snob. He's going for a deep cut.
I'm so impressed.
Be like, did you like The Hustler? Oh, the costumes.
I feel like any basic bitch could say, oh, the aliens were scary and all
the
acid.
He just called you a basic bitch.
Oh, that's what he's doing.
Or say, oh,
Paul
Reiser was smarmy, but you know what? If you're going to watch it maybe with a little bit of a more trained eye, that sound design's going to get you.
Do you sometimes talk into a pillow?
Feels
until,
like I'm doing now.
Until you can't breathe anymore.
Only when he switches positions with his lover. Joel McHale, speaking
Adam,
of talking into something.
It's always so good to see you. I wish we were teenagers and we could play on the same football team together.
God. I feel the same way. The only lament, or at least top three lament, I would say, and I'm not paying you lip service. Like I really mean it. The only lament of becoming successful and getting busy is the Joel McHales and the Jimmy Kimmels and all the people you, that you guys know as personalities, but you have to know them as just the funnest guys in the world to have lunch with. You just don't get to see them or hang with them as much as you used to. When Jimmy and I were wildly unsuccessful, we'd have lunch every single day for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it's literally, you can't do that with Jimmy anymore. And Joel is the same, and everyone's running a million different directions
you
with family and stuff like that.
You see the parents at the school, you know, and then you're like, I guess we're hanging out because you're the parents of our kids like each other. And then
then
you go away all the time to tour. Yeah, it's you know, it's hard. It's hard. No, but you're right. But now look at us.
Look at us. So, Joel, speaking of family, sorry, stifle yourself, pillow boy. Mm-hmm. But write it down.
Move to that point.
Okay, go ahead.
That's where you get the original Ocean's 11 from. The super busy, famous guys wanted to hang out together for a month.
I mean, in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sinatra and Dean Martin.
Because now a lunch with we have to plan. There's planning.
Mm. So I brought a mouthpiece in because I thought it'd be funny.
What do you mean?
But not that you need a mouthpiece, but...
Oh, no.
Joel, who just walked in the door?
My dad. He's pissed about this whole stepmom business. Hey, Dad talks through his trumpet mouthpiece. We don't really communicate anymore, but I do kind of know what he's saying. Okay. Hey, Dad. Good to see you, man. Well, all right. So you're doing so-so. First thing you come so. Hey, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, listen, Lynn, no disrespect. I just did not want to portray your wife in a miniseries. So, it's not a reflection on you. So, no, I don't think my poop doesn't think. If you're going to get late. I didn't bring you in here to criticize me or the show. I wanted to tell you that Jimmy Kimmel's hosting the Oscars again. I will look. Most people think he did a good job, so I think you're a little bit out on an island there. Well, if you're going to use that kind of language, then I'm going to ask you to leave. Don't start
bringing
accusing people.
Grandpa!
Now, listen,
Dad. What's wrong with you?
I wish... Well, first off, you told me you didn't see last year's Oscar, so how can you say it was a horrible performance by Jimmy Kimmel? Okay, you heard. All right, I get it. I get it. Word gets around the Altadena area. But I'm letting you know that this year he's coming back, and guess who's going to be writing for the Oscars again? Your son. No, me. That's not a joke.
Did you tell a joke?
No, I did not tell a joke. That's what the audience is going to be doing after they hear my jokes. Dad. Seriously, I'm not kidding. And this time it's official. I'm getting paid. Yes, me. No, I'm writing for the Oscars because I was asked to write for them. How much money? It's worked out with the union. I don't know. Obviously it's not about the money. It's about the pride and being at. It is. Well, I know you've never done anything unless someone dangled a nickel in front of you, but I have a little something called loyalty, Dad.
Oh my God,
Dad, no. He just went Silence of the Lambs on us. Now, listen, Dad. I'm very proud of the fact that Jimmy asked me back to write for the Oscars again. Well, it means something to me. And I would hope that you would support Jimmy by watching the Oscars this year. It's Sunday. It comes on. I understand you love the Jeopardy College Edition, but that's not on Sunday. That starts Monday. That's just the following Monday. Oh, don't tell me you have to emotionally prepare for the Jeopardy College. All right, Dad, now listen. Okay.
Daddy, does he hate us?
You can come watch it with me and Natalia, Grandpa.
Come on. The kids, they're your grandkids. Now, come on, Dad. Yeah, I get it. There are other grandkids that are better, and I get you have better places, better things to do and places to go, but these are your grandchildren, and I think if you don't spend time with them now, you'll regret it one day. There, he's having another hit of postum. He's got to hit the spit valve.
So, I made you this drawing, Grandpa. We were so excited you were coming over.
See, I told you wouldn't like an Italia.
It's a picture of you playing the trumpet, though, Dad. Right, I get it. You could do it in your sleep, but these are kids. They're young kids. The stuff doesn't have to go to Guggenheim. You just put it on your refrigerator. Don't throw it away.
He doesn't have to step on it.
Don't throw it away in front of them, Dad.
Just take it home and throw it away.
You
have to do it right here in front of
them. Oh, he's drinking again. Dad, I don't like it when you hit the bottle. Dad, I'll tell you what.
He's doing a jig. Why?
You're upsetting the children, Dad. I just want to know that you're going to be tuned in Sunday night at 5 o'clock to watch my pal Jimmy host the Oscars. And keep in mind, your son, your only son, will be backstage feverishly writing jokes. I'm not done. And I hope you can find some pride in that. Oh, he's leaving.
Bye, Grandpa. We love you.
Hi, Dad. I'm not leasing you another car. Oh, he's trying to slam the door.
He can't slam the hydraulic door.
He can't slam the door. Sorry.
Wow, where did Joel go?
Yeah. What happened, you guys? I had food poisoning. I've been in the toilet.
Oh, I love it. All right, so now let's talk the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale on
Netflix.
It'll
be a lot of that.
It'll be a lot of that.
A lot of spit belt.
Give us the...
We're taping our first episode tomorrow. So a lot of people are like, is it like the soup? It's nothing like the soup, except there's a green screen and we make fun of reality television and tell a lot of pop culture jokes.
Totally. No similarities.
Yeah, nothing at all.
Okay.
There's two cameras this time, so that's exciting.
Will it be day and date? Will we release a batch of them like Netflix does?
No. It's a weekly topical show. They don't do this a lot. I know they're trying to now. Hopefully it will work. We tape it tomorrow, and then it releases on very early Sunday morning because they have to translate it into 130 languages.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're Netflix. I don't know how fart jokes about bachelorettes are going to translate hopefully it'll work, but it's very similar to the soup, but it's not the soup because I don't want them to sue us. Clip shows are not... you're not going to be rights to a clip show. So,
right.
But I feel like there's so much more reality television than there was. And I would like to make fun of it because I would like to get a McLaren.
Yeah. Joel, you'll verify the time I went to go do the soup and the security guard would not let me.
No.
To go do the soup.
It's a dark day.
Remember I telling you about we hire a bunch of retarded guys for $9 an hour to just ruin our lives? I was a guest on the soup, and I went, and I said to the security guard, I got to go up to the second floor, and he's like, can't let you do that. And I was like, well, can you call up there? And they're like, no, I cannot do that. And I said, well, I'm supposed to do the show. And he's like, well, what are you going to do? Have a seat over there. And I just sat there for half an hour, and eventually I said, can you call up and tell the soup people I'm here? And he's like, can't do it. And I'm like, all right, well, then I'm going to leave. And he's like, okay. Someone that's going to come down eventually, and you're going to tell them I'm not here. And he's like, adios. okay.
People got in trouble for what happened. It's not even you weren't being a jerk. We are usually alerted to... when guests show up. Yes, producers should be sent down, but I was like, what the fuck is happening, guys? We've been on the air for a while.
A long time at that point, yeah.
And I wish we could have brought up you. I would have hired you a publicist to scream, but that was unacceptable. That might have been during the days of when they knew that Seacrest would be roaming the hallways and they were terrified that he would lose a pocket watch or something. So I still feel we did pay you the $400, the SAG minimum. That's nice.
Joel was sweet. Joel called me on the way home.
I was mortified. I don't get mortified easily, but I was very not happy.
But before that, were you pissed that Adam just didn't show up?
No, I forget how we've learned that you had been there. And I remember I couldn't get my head around. I was like, wait, what happened? And I couldn't figure, I was not happy.
The security guards are weird. I've learned two things, in life. People just have a kind of psychology, which is, and I'll tell you how it works. Almost every loan I've ever applied for, the posture of the person that was doing the loan acted like they were giving me their money. Like in terms of their attitude,
out
like
their
they sit there with their arms folded and they're like, so what are you going to do with the car? And then how do I know you're not? And then like, I've told people in the middle of loans, like, you should drop your attitude because your business is you loan me money and then I pay you back with interest and that's your business. You're acting like I told you to run out of your car and grab change out of the ashtray and bring it back to my car.
They're probably
but
not.
there's something that happens. You see what I'm saying?
Power
it,
dynamic.
It doesn't happen when you sell churros because you're like, you want people to like come to your cart and give them a churro. Security guards act like it's their building.
Yes.
Even though they're the lowest person on the totem pole, anyone who's tried to get onto a lot where they shoot things, the person that gets paid the least on the lot is the person that mans the 1x6 that goes up and down and lets you in and out a lot. But that person acts like they own the lot.
The literal gatekeeper.
Because they're stupid, and that's how stupid people act when you put them in charge of the gate. So the person who's the dumbest person in the building who makes the least per hour is the person in charge of whether you get to go upstairs or not, and it's not going to happen on his watch. And that was a weird thing. I was like, well, then call them. And he's like, can't do it.
Yeah, it's just...
well, you got a phone.
Right. There's no reason for him not to pick up the phone. And if you had gotten any other guy, it would have been like, oh, yeah, hold on.
Who cares? That's
and
right.
Except you, all of a sudden, the person becomes a Navy SEAL.
Well,
and they have that amount of skill set. And
we got a lot of made-up movies queued up. So I think what we should do is take a quick break.
People have called in with the names.
And yes, and we shall come right back with Joel McHale and made-up movie.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns. Literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
In a world where titles are many and plots are few, one man can take your movie names and make them come to life.
What is going on?
Adam Carolla stars in Made Up Movie.
All right, Joel McHale is here. I will ask you guys to look at the screen and don't shout anything out, but take a look at some of the movie titles and think about some of the ones that may speak to you. I will first tell you about HIMS. HIMS. Sexual performance issues are more common than you think. 25%.
What?
That's right. 25% of ED cases are guys under 40. Uh-oh, that means one of us.
Whoa!
Oh, no, wait a minute.
I'm racist within this line.
That's right.
What?
So, you go...
Can I get some for a friend?
Yeah. I'll tell you how to do it. Go to 4hims.com. One-stop shop for any hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. No herbal supplements, medical-grade solutions, and generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions, including an ED pill that starts with V. You guys could probably do that math.
Valentine.
No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, none of that. Try HIMS. And you can do it, HIMS, for a month today. Just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy.
We have samples here in the studio.
We got a box in the back.
It's a dispensary.
Put a blindfold on you and you reach in.
Sound now, please.
Go to and four. Sorry.
Hymns.
Go to four hymns, H-I-M-S, fourhymns.com, fourhymns.com/Adam, fourhymns.com/Adam, and get the deal. All right, let's do
so are
the-
you cool? Is it cool that to know that guys are like, oh, I'm going to get this erection going, and I'm going to think about Adam Carolla now?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm flattered. I'm flattered by that.
It's great.
I really am.
Performance,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's better than thinking about baseball.
Adam, what is your wedding ring made of?
I asked that yesterday.
I've been asked this a lot.
I love
okay,
it. It's what, so exciting. Is it a car part?
Well, it's crystallized tears.
I got to do something about this. I was asked last night by my nanny about this wedding ring. What had happened is this. I had a gold wedding band, and I have a knuckle that has been damaged. And it
how?
Was
like a devil's boxing knuckle.
It looks like a large P under the skin of your knuckle.
And it's rock hard.
Hold on. Touched it. Joel's going to touch it,
Joel may touch the knuckle. It is a rock hard.
You may touch the knuckle.
It is rock.
Look at that.
It is rock hard. And so
is that the bone?
It's a calcium deposit or something. There's something going on from too much boxing in my youth. So what happens is if I try to take my wedding ring off to hit the heavy bag, throw some weights around, or bang a stray on the road.
What?
Hmm?
You said bang a stray on the road?
I said hit a heavy bag.
Yeah, right.
I said adopt a stray.
Or I said throw some
kids.
Weights around.
Yeah.
What did you
That's
hear?
That's pretty much.
Then you said, I feel like, Gina, you heard it, bang a stray on the road.
No, I think
you must have mistook that with hit the heavy
fever,
bag.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
I just did the two.
You, Brian, did you hear him say bang a stray on the road?
I heard you say it.
Yeah,
I
heard you say it like three times. Yeah.
Why would I be...
Well, could you take it back? Because Lynette listens to the show.
It's a family show.
To Joel's wife,
yeah,
too.
No, I mean, I did you guys hear it?
No.
They heard the heavy bag, right?
Heavy bag, throw some weights around.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to...
That's strangely specific, Joel.
So then, if you could just...
Telling.
Why don't we start over? Why don't we just start that over? Like, so when you...
Okay. So, whether I wanted to hit the double-ended bag...
Right.
Or do some bench press...
Right.
Or fuck a groupie, I realized that I needed to take the ring off.
Fuck a groupie, right?
What?
You just said it. That's weird.
That's very offensive.
I don't know what groupies are. It's a type of fish?
Why... Why would I?
Okay,
why,
I hit. Okay, the, I used to box.
I know. And
I hit a
look,
double.
The hammer is one of my favorite romantic comedies ever.
I'm glad you like. They have a double ended bag.
Right.
You can work on your timing.
Okay.
With that, but you'd want to take your wedding ring off.
And if you wanted to lift weights with, you can't wear the wedding ring because
to pinch against the barbell.
Or
you know what I mean, the belt. The right.
Or to what? Or to
heavy bag.
Heavy bag. Weights.
Dumbbell.
To take your right, well, to take your ring off you for other things such as
I don't
because I heard you say fuck a groupie. That's what I heard.
Oh, Joe.
Strike two.
You got to worry about sometimes what you're thinking
out,
versus what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm gonna
I feel I feel like you're thinking it.
I'll let you get. I'm so sorry. Okay, why don't you get through with your thought? So you have to take your wedding ring off to do. Just
hit a speed bag.
Right.
Sometimes even skip row, plow a stranger.
Right.
So.
Okay. You just said plow a stranger. Is that part? You said plow a stranger. You heard it, right, Gina?
I said.
Hashtag me too. I don't like this language, and I'd like you to leave.
I said skip row.
I didn't say it was non-consensual.
Okay.
Or,
this is an
I gave you a lot of examples, Joel. I said skip rope.
Right.
I said speed bag.
Right.
I said double-ended bag. I said heavy bag.
Right.
I said barbell, and I said dumbbell. Now, if those aren't six enough examples for you, this is why I have to take my wedding ring off and why you have to stray into this world where...
I swear, when you play this back...
You accuse me of banging Janine, a 31-year-old, thrice-divorced mother of three who I keep in an apartment in Seattle. When you come out with those kinds of accusations...
Wait, you just said 31-year-old mother of three who lives in Seattle, you have an apartment for her, name is Janine, right?
I said dumbbell, I said heavy bag. I said speed bag. I don't even know how you know Janine.
You know this Janine, so you said Janine.
You're saying Janine.
31
I'm
years
saying,
old,
how
mother
do you
three.
Know my Janine? That's what I'm saying. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wait, you're so now you are saying you know Janine.
I'm saying you keep saying Janine, and if you keep talking shit about my little girl, I'm going to go upside your head.
Little girl? She's a mom of three.
All right, you leave my daughter out of this. All I know is you're throwing out random names.
Your daughter is not named Janine.
My daughter's named Natalia.
Right.
And don't you evoke her name. You understand?
Did
Janine
you guys,
would not be happy
what?
If she heard you bringing up her name.
You got...
Joel, you've always been such a polite guest.
Jesus Christ. This is uncomfortable.
It just seems like every time you ramp into the stuff that you like to do without your wedding ring on, you go, well, this is a practical purpose. I need to box with it because it'll hurt. I need
yes.
to lift weights.
True.
I need to take it off because you could pinch the skin. And then you say, plow a stranger. You say, this woman that you keep in Seattle named Janine, who's a mother of three. You said those things
okay.
or bang a stray on the road.
I don't even want to dignify that with an answer, but Janine blows me. So why would I take... the ring off. How would that cause any friction?
You said
friction?
Janine blows me. You said it.
You are saying Janine blows you?
No.
I don't even know who Janine is.
You said Janine was your daughter, your little girl.
All right. Joel, I'm sorry. We started off so well, but you sicken me. You sicken me.
I don't know why you guys... Okay. You know what? So you take the ring off.
I do, because I still enjoy... the sweet science of boxing and banging Janine. And I go into the gym
mm-hmm.
or the apartment on Queen Mary. Mm-hmm.
On Queen Anne.
And I'm able to perform. Okay? And I wish you'd stop turning this in some sort of salacious direction. Like, you know, you do with, I don't know, Kevin Hart or Paul Reiser or Alison Brie or one of the other guests that may show up on one of your first episodes of the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale,
yeah.
which premieres Sunday, February 18th on okay. Netflix. So well, if we could just kind of move forward and do a made-up movie,
no,
normally we have a good time when you come into the studio.
I'm just not going to talk about you getting blown by Janine. But
Oh my God.
I don't even know who Janine is.
Okay, you're
and
right. No,
I don't
right.
know how you know
you're
who
right.
she is,
right.
and I've never heard that name before, and when I tell her you were talking shit, she's going to be pissed.
If you've never heard the name before, how can you tell
well,
her?
Well, of course I've heard the name Janine. I went to junior high with like six Janines.
It's a real name.
Doesn't mean
but
I'm currently
then
plowing
you said
them
she's
from
going
behind.
To be pissed.
I think I can clear this up, you guys. I went back, I looked out the tape, and I think I know what Joel heard. Let's listen if he heard, in fact, plow a stranger.
Plow a stranger.
See, you said
you
it.
You said it.
Said
you were the
you
one who said it.
Plow
we
stranger.
Heard it right there
you
on the tape.
I was quoting him.
And first off,
play it again.
Plow a stranger.
And Janine is no stranger. We've had an ongoing affair for 7 years. Okay?
Guys!
So...
He
please
just said
watch
he had an ongoing affair for 7 years.
Why would you accuse
why
him
would you
of
make these allegations?
Wild allegations.
My children listen
show.
To this podcast.
His name's on the sign.
Your daughter, Janine?
No, I don't wow. even know who Janine is. My daughter's name, Natalia, thank you. And I'd ask you not to bring her name into this conversation.
How can you not know Janine when you literally just said that just seconds ago that she's going to be pissed when she hears about this?
My daughter, Natalia, is going to be very upset when she hears yeah. about what you said about yeah. my gal, Janine. Okay? I don't even know who Janine is. All right?
Okay.
That's right. And I don't even know her last name. We've agreed not to use last names. So I have no idea what you're saying in my
okay,
studio right now.
You just said, seconds, you just mumbled, we've agreed not to use last names, right?
I said, okay, please, one more time. Hit the heavy bag.
Yes.
Hit the speed bag.
Right.
Double-ended bag.
Okay.
Barbells.
Right.
Dumbbell.
Uh-huh.
Skip rope.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I mean.
That's
all and take Janine from behind. That's all I can think. That's all I said. That's all I said.
The fuck you said take Janine from behind. You
okay.
just said it.
I don't know who this person is.
You have to scream.
And I don't know why you're obsessed with her.
It's your show,
Adam. It's not
that I'm
obsessed with her. It's just that you keep saying shit, and then you say you haven't said it, and no one...
Thank God I have witnesses.
We may not have witnesses. I have witnesses.
Joel, you're going to have to check the tape and then check yourself.
You know what?
Brian, do you have it?
I got a different section.
He's going to edit it down, and he's going to put my voice in there.
He just records.
I don't just record, man.
Janine takes me from behind. That's what you said.
Let's hear it.
What you and Janine do... is your business.
That's, I'm quoting.
As long as another Janine, I'm not fucking.
What?
Would you, huh?
You just said as long as there's not another Janine, I'm not fucking.
Okay. Joel, what you and this magical person named Janine do is your business. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't care. Go ahead. Except for this weekend. Go ahead.
Fuck a groupie.
Well, oh, my God. Is that what you do on the road?
I can see why you would think.
How unbelievable. I thought you were a nice guy.
All right. And scene. Thank you, Joel McCoy.
Not scene. Let's keep going.
So anyway, my nanny said to me.
That cow.
My nanny. Okay. All right. She said to me, like, by the way, I don't need this for my goddamn nanny. She said last night. Okay. So I did a show in Vegas. We did a show at Caesars. When I was done with the show, a guy handed me this O-ring rubber gasket wedding ring, and he said, use this because your ring won't come off if you ever want to bang Janine. You have to pull your ring and it gets caught up on this big calcium deposit of it. Yeah. It's like it literally won't come off. And if you want to hit the speed bag or something, you want to take it off. So he handed me this, and I've been wearing it ever since. And everyone always asks what it is, but they make them like in black. I think I need one in black. That's what like the athletes wear, athletes.
And then, if I look up O-ring rubber wedding ring, that'll come up.
Look up like workout wedding ring or something. Wow. It's for guys who like have to practice stuff and like don't take the ring on and off.
Plus,
like,
if you get it in black, you can always, in a pinch, you know, say, oh, my wife just died. I'm in mourning. I need, you know, a soft.
Or you use it as a cock ring with Janine.
Yeah.
You get it big enough.
You use it as a cock ring with Janine.
Okay, what you and Janine do is your business, Joel. Oh, and I don't even know why you would verbalize it.
Nonsense.
You have to hit the heavy bag on a kid. So, so here's the thing. Let me ask you this. I don't know if your nanny does this to you, Joel. Well, I don't need my nanny doing this to me in the kitchen last night. She's like, so what is that? I said, it's the wedding ring. She says, why? I said, well, the other one I can't take on and off like and stuff. And my knuckles screwed up, so I just wear this one. And then she goes, super sarcastically, oh, you scared women are going to bother you on the road? And I'm like, why is that not a possibility, bitch? I was in D.C. last week. There are plenty of chicks there. It's a possibility.
Yeah, tons of people in line waiting to see you.
Why are you ruling this out?
Yeah, I like how you go home and you get heckled by
I get heckled by
people that you pay.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we have this routine worked out where I go, now listen, everybody. I don't like to talk about myself. And she goes, no.
she's your Bob Zamuda.
Is she from a different country?
I don't know. Is Guatemala in this country?
It's a protectorate.
A lot of them are, but no, the country itself.
The country itself, yeah. She's from a place that's not here.
And
that's right.
She is able, she obviously can get, English is her second language. And she knows still how to give you shit.
She loves it. She listens to the podcast. She cracks up.
And if Adam tries to get on the counter, she kicks him in the ribs.
Yeah, she'll kick anyone in the ribs who tries to do anything, like my dog Phil. And she will. She also does. Like, she's good for stories. Like, I will tell my kid, you know, when Olga came here on her donkey 31 years ago, mm-hmm. she didn't have the kind of money that you guys are worried about which Tesla you're getting. Well, her donkey had no plug-in port, you know, and stuff like that. And it's a life lesson thing.
And do you think the kids get those lessons and they're like, thanks, Dad. Anyway, which vintage Lamborghini should we take to school? Do you think, like, that was a great lesson?
My Natalia explained to me the other day that she was going to save me money when she got to high school by driving my Lamborghini Miura SV, not having to purchase her a used Camry.
Ooh, I like the way she thinks.
She's thinking smart. Savvy. All right, do we have movies?
Yes.
That people like? Do we have titles? Does anyone have a feeling? I barely looked up. Joel, do you have a feeling?
Yeah, go ahead.
I like Sailing September 14 through 17.
You're looking at the wrong.
Oh, no, that's our Seattle cruise.
I think we should do the movie Sailing September 14 to 17.
That is
strong title.
That's us. We'll be at the Moore Theater the night before, and then we'll be on the cruise. 50 rooms just added. I like that.
50 rooms?
50 rooms.
To the boat?
We sell these things out.
Wait.
And they were already there.
Okay.
They've added them to the package.
So there was going to be people on this cruise without knowing it if those rooms are still available?
No, what they've done is, for instance, I get a suite, right? So it'll just be me and Lynette and Sonny and Natalia and maybe Olga and then Janine in another room down the hall.
Okay. All right. Right. You all fucking heard that, right?
Natalia, yeah, Sonny,
the family's getting a suite.
Olga, Lynette in the suite.
Yeah.
And then Gina in a room and Brian in a room down the
Gina
hall.
Yeah, Gina down the attic room and Gina in the room.
Okay.
There. Right.
Yeah.
And nothing else?
No.
Well, I don't know. I may have inhaled or something, but not audibly.
Okay. Okay. Janine takes me from behind.
That's maybe what you're
Oh, my God. Is that what you're into?
That's what you're thinking
about. Wow, that's called pegging.
All right. Sorry.
It is?
Oh, sorry. Brian, you like a movie up there?
Yeah. Andrew from Kentucky has one I can go off
Andrew
of.
Andrew from Kentucky.
Do you guys want to do 50 Rooms Added, the movie?
Andrew,
it's a lot like that Disney one where they take over the ski lodge and they.
I'm laughing. Go ahead, Andrew, Kentucky.
Ace, good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you, man.
My movie is Never Have I Ever.
Never have I ever.
Gina, you're probably familiar with the game.
The drinking
Never have
game.
I ever. Are you familiar with this? You know what this is?
No.
Your daughter's, if she's not playing it already,
will someday soon
play this. It's a drinking game, but you can just play it with your friends or whatever, you know.
You play drinking games at this age?
No, but that leads me into my idea. Hold on a second. Never Have I Ever is the idea is like, oh, you're all sitting in a circle, maybe 5, 8 people, whatever. You're like, okay, never have I ever cheated on a test, and everyone who did that thing drinks. And if you haven't, then you sit out. And never have I ever, had sex on the first date, drink if you're that person who has done that. So a group of recently graduated sorority sisters, right? They lived the life, they did the 4 years, and now they're, in the real world, but they still get together and do the drinking games. The early 20s, mid 20s. Let's say it's Jennifer Lawrence and Emma
Brian,
Stone.
What's the sound design like on this movie?
We're getting there.
So, like, Emma Stone would be like, never
have I. Think this? I mean, who would be
What's
doing
important?
The sound design?
You had to know
point.
This was going
to
come back. So, Emma Stone would be like, never have I ever finished in Janine's hair.
That's what she might say. Right. And then Janine
will say to me. He's on his
feet. You've said it so many times.
What's that?
The old some
Emma
sort of
Stone.
Sex act with Janine.
Janine
Garofalo.
Janine is played by, stunt casting because Janine.
You heard him say Janine and now you're saying Janine?
No, your
you're saying Janine.
Yeah. We're just going off your idea. Improv.
So Lindsay Lohan plays Janine.
Ooh, I like this.
She's the good girl. All the girls are drinking.
Are we saying that Lindsay Lohan's having a comeback in this movie?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And she's the good girl. She's Janine. Mm-hmm. She's sitting there with her little red Solo cup, and all the girls are never have ever had sex in the first. Hey, they're drinking. Half of them drink. Never ever done this. Never have ever done that.
And then production shuts down for a month and a half because
Lindsay Lohan's sitting there with her little cup. She's not drinking anything. Janine hasn't lived the life. Like, she was a good girl.
Okay.
She's never.
And much like, remember The Last Detail with Jack Nicholson, and they took the guy out before he was going to go to jail, and they took him out and
was Quaid.
It was a young Randy Quaid.
Right.
So they took a guy out to have a crazy
His career's turned out great. Let's get him in this movie.
You can get him on your
talk
show.
We'd have to shoot it in Canada.
You can get him on your talk show.
That's true.
Yes.
So Janine, this is it. We're committing the next week. We're going to catch Janine up to life.
So she never drinks from the cup.
Yeah,
we realize she's had no life. And we must go out and live.
And all the other girls, the Emma Stone and the Jennifer Lawrence, they're all going to get refills. What a crazy life it's been.
They finally notice.
Yeah, we
got
to get Janine up to speed.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a,
Why is it only white girls, Brian?
Tiffany Haddish is there.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish is in this.
Wow,
yeah.
Nice of you.
She's the horny one.
Tessa Thompson's there. She's age appropriate. That's right.
Okay.
Right.
Great.
And she finds love along the way.
Sure.
Right.
We find out that maybe she's a virgin. Yeah, never had sex.
She meets Chris Pratt.
There you go.
Along the way,
now we're talking.
But guys, who's the director of photography? I mean, what are we talking here?
Movies
they don't just show up to some soundstage and it just begins filming it.
You've been in a couple more movies than I have, Joel.
Yeah,
I understand.
It has to be shot.
Before you hire a DP.
And then, sound is not a silent movie. Sorry.
Hey, Andrew.
It's a hit.
It's a hit.
This is a good idea.
It's a hit. All right. Now, do we have an end for it? When she finds love.
Does she feel terrible about herself?
After
she starts to dip her toe into the crazy waters, and she realizes this is, you know, maybe a little too much for me.
Not for her.
Maybe she convinces some of the other girls who are going down the wrong path, you know, pull it back a little bit.
Does she meet the man of her dreams along the way?
I say Chris Pratt is like the six-year senior big man on campus at the Delta House, and he's tired of all the floozies and chicks throwing themselves at him, right?
Maybe that's one of the... I've never once been with Joey Johnson. Yee-hee, they all drink except Janine.
Right. Yeah, he's tired of it.
I don't know if that's a selling point.
Joey Johnson.
All right. Andrew likes it.
But set design is something just will be shooting it. You'll just assume you can just show up to people's homes and just start shooting there.
All right. Gina, you got one you like?
Yeah, I kind of like...
Hold on, does Joel have one he likes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can we show him that?
I want to do line two. A movie called Line 2.
There's no one on Line 2.
It's called Line 2.
Gosh.
It's a strong horror movie title.
All right. I would like to call it Thunder Valley Casino.
Thunder Valley Casino. I'll be there. Sacramento.
March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Stranger. Yes. But I think it's a stranger.
Plow a Stranger.
At the casino?
That was a quote about what he does. Yeah. To Janine.
Always turning it around on other people.
Plow a stranger. You know
when you point one finger, there's three pointing back at you.
Not if you go like this.
That's true.
Stop pointing.
When I text Janine what you said, she is going to be livid.
Brian is laughing at what you're saying about Janine.
I coughed.
Yeah. He has a frog in his throat.
All right. Enough with this mystery,
Janine.
Yeah,
I got a movie I like.
All right.
Gina.
Yeah. It's called Brandon 37.
Yeah. Brandon 37.
It's a good one. About a guy in San Antonio.
Hey, Brandon 37, San Antonio.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, well, just sitting here listening to you guys, having a good time. How's everybody doing?
We're doing well.
Yeah.
You got a movie title?
Yep. Adam doesn't have a mistress in Seattle. Nope. No mention of that. And Queen Anne Hill in a condominium.
He didn't stay long enough last time he was in San Antonio to pick one up here, but there's senoritas for him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the movie title is...
Yeah, I don't stray, but go ahead.
Shelby's Cobra.
Shelby's Cobra.
Well, it's an interesting time we're living in because the Go Like Hell movie, the Shelby Ferrari or Ford Ferrari doc got optioned by like Tom Cruise's company. And then we just realized somebody just said in the news that the next one, we made a doc, the 24-Hour War, they optioned, they didn't say the source material. Maybe it was our doc, but they're going to do another movie about Ferrari versus Ford. Mm. Yep. So they'll be Shelby in there, and then we're doing a Shelby, Carroll Shelby doc that his kids have commissioned.
And then you're doing that submarine documentary about the short-lived time when Fiat was making submarines.
That's right.
Is this part of the bit, or you actually made these documentaries? I feel like we should continue with
this is a sidebar.
Yes, oh, I know they're real.
James Mangold is going to do the Ferrari project for Fox, so that'll be interesting.
Really? This is all true.
This is all true. They just since we made this doc, someone's decided they should make. I'm not saying it's based on us. I'm just saying.
And Tom Cruise, somebody is making the other one.
Tom Cruise has got the other one. Christian Bale has got the other one. And the other thing that's interesting, I don't know if I spoke about this, but in our documentary, we highlighted a guy named Ken Miles. Ken Miles is not a name that anyone knows, but Ken Miles had this perfect and tragic life if you're making a movie, which is Ken Miles won at the Triple Crown would be winning at Daytona, 24 hours at Daytona, winning at the 12 hours of Sebring, and then going to France.
Louisville, Kentucky.
And winning at Le Mans, the 24-hour Le Mans. Ken Miles was this perfect gentleman English guy, like engineer, whatever. He's about to be the only guy to ever win the Triple Crown by winning at Le Mans. He was out to a huge lead with just, a couple laps left. And Henry Ford II, like radioed down and he said, I want a 1-2-3 finish. I don't want Ken Miles out front in a Ford GT40 and then another guy lap behind him. They were going to finish 1-2-3, but he said, I want a photo finish. I want them all going across the finish line together. So tell Ken Miles to slow down and let the other guys catch up to him. And he resisted at first, and then eventually he did, and the others caught up to him, and he let him catch up to him, and they crossed for the photo finish, and then he went to go take the trophy as the winner of Le Mans, as the only guy to ever win the Triple Crown in 1 year. And he went up to the podium and they said, you came in second. And he said, what happened? Le Mans lines up in a right to left, and it's an endurance race. And the guy who finished equal with him, his car was 17 feet behind when the race started, with the way they lined it up. He qualified before this guy, and this guy qualified two cars away. He was 17 feet away from him, and they went, he covered more distance than you did in the same amount of time. Ken Miles was heartbroken. He came back here, and he died testing a GT40 a month later. And nobody knows his story, but they want to do the Ken in the write up on this. They want to feature Ken Miles, who was featured in our doc. So that's not
a relatable character from a human level. For
it's not a Shelby Ferrari thing. It's kind of a Ken Miles. Like, if you're looking for a story within the big story, it would be Ken Miles.
Yeah. And that's the story of Shelby's Cobra.
Sorry, Brandon. That's it. You got me.
Sad.
Brandon, but you got to learn that stuff.
You're welcome.
I didn't know any.
It's a good tutorial. Joe from Pittsburgh, Sweet Street Justice.
Well, we'll
do that.
Something.
We'll do that next time. I'm bringing it. I'm bringing it home.
Okay, bye, Joe.
Adam Carolla will return in Made Up Movie. Part 2.
50 rooms added.
The Joel McHale Show with Joe McHale premieres this Sunday, February 18th. Upcoming live shows. Addison coming up. Columbus, Ohio.
That's
coming up
this weekend.
This weekend. God bless you. Second story. Wanted to kill myself. That is...
Joel, what are you going to do when you're on the road?
Plow a stranger.
Oh, my God.
Now you're just... Joel. That's just entrapping.
What a terrible way to leave.
I supported you, Brian.
Should go to...
I wanted you to have this job. And when Adam said, there's no way Brian is coming with me to the internet, I was like,
you know what?
Fucking asshole.
You give me a lot to think about.
I yelled at him for a long time. And then... go ahead.
JoelMcHale.com is where you go for all the live dates. And then, of course, A Stupid Futile Gesture. Very fuck funny on Netflix. Okay.
Did you say fuck? What did you say?
Fuck
what?
A groupie. We will take a quick break. Joel, enough about future plans for the road. We have to take a break. Be right back with the news. Dad, hang on after this.